Always good to see each of you here. Appreciate those that are visiting as well as those that are our regular members. In my lesson this morning, right near the end of it, I mentioned the Corinthians and said that many of them hearing, believed, and were baptized. And I had on the overhead Acts 10 and 8, and somebody questioned that, and that's not Acts 10 and 8. That's Acts 18, 8. So I apologize for that mistake, but appreciate having it pointed out to me. That had someone sent a reply back on one of the morning devotionals that I send out and was questioning something that I said, and he said, "I hope this that I don't mean to be offensive or anything." And I sent him an email back. He lives in Alaska. Sent him an email back, and I said, "No, it's not offensive." I said, "I'm just glad to know somebody actually reads the thing." So it's just the way it is with my lesson. If you're following along and you catch something, you let me know, because I try to do it the best I can, especially getting these on the overhead. We live in a society today where if you go out and you begin asking people, "Do you believe in God?" most people in our country would actually say that they do believe in God. I don't know the exact numbers. I've seen surveys taken several times, and it's in the 75 to 80% range of people that live in the United States that would say, "I definitely believe in a God," and then probably another 10% that would say, "I don't necessarily believe in a personal God of any kind, but I believe there is some kind of higher power that's out there." And yet, when you begin to question what people mean by they believe in God, you start getting a lot of different answers. And we find it politically correct that we don't want to question or challenge somebody that might believe in some other God than what we believe in. And so we have elected officials who have said, you know, it doesn't matter which God, as long as you believe in the God, then that's okay. The question I want us to deal with this evening, as we think about that, that subject is, does God care? Does He really care which God we believe in? Well, if you remember when He gave the Ten Commandments in Acts chapter 20, I want to look at the first few of these, first three of them. In Exodus 20, beginning verse 1, God spoke all these words saying, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other God before me." And so, God is very plain. He says, "I am God, and you're not to put any other God before me. You should not make for yourself an idol, or any likeness of what's in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." And so he says, yes, it does matter to me what God you serve. You don't start making idols and make things of your own hands, and then you start worshiping those things. And then he says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain." In other words, the name of God is holy, and we are to respect him and treat him as holy. Does God care? Yes, God does care. And we must always respect the God of the Bible as God. There is no other God. He said, "I am God. You don't have any other gods. I'm the only God that there is that you are to worship. There's not any other." God has revealed Himself to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, in verses 1 and 2, there we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." Now, he's saying here that this Word was there. Now, if we drop down to verse 14 of that same chapter, he says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so Jesus is described as the Word of God. He is the revelation, the manifestation of God to mankind. John says, we beheld His glory. In Matthew chapter 17, there Jesus took Peter, James, and John with Him up on the mountain. Beginning verse 1. 6 days later, Jesus took with Him Peter, James, and John, His brother, and brought them up to a high mountain by themselves. And He was transfigured before them. And His face shone like the sun. His garments became as white as light. They said, John said, we beheld His glory. This is what he's talking about. He said, we were on that mountain and we saw the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll make three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. For Peter thought he was really paying Jesus a compliment. But while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were much afraid. And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, arise, do not be afraid. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus Himself alone. God is showing the glory of Jesus to Peter, James, and John. And in addition to that, He is telling them that Jesus is the one you listen to. Not Moses, the lawgiver. Not Elijah, the prophet. But rather you listen to Jesus. Moses and Elijah are gone. Jesus is alone. God said, listen to Him. So God has revealed Himself to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And God has given Him all authority. Matthew 28 and verse 18. Jesus came up and spoke to His apostles and He said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. That's everything. That's all. It doesn't say some of it, but Jesus has authority to speak on behalf of God. In Colossians 2, verses 8 through 10, Paul says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in Him you have been made complete. He is the head over all rule and authority. Paul said He's over everything. He is God in the flesh. And you need to understand that. You need to see that. So Jesus is the manifestation of God and the revelation of the truth of God. We need to understand, and I think this is something that a lot of times people don't understand, is that either Jesus is who He claims to be, or He is one of the biggest imposters that has ever lived, and the Bible is one of the greatest lies and hoax that has ever been put forth on mankind. Jesus says in the Word, in the Bible, that He is the Son of God. The Bible says, written by inspiration from God, that Jesus died and God raised Him from the dead. That He's gone back to the Father. And as we look at this, either these things are true, or it's all a big lie and it's a big hoax. It can't be both. A lot of people will say, well, you know, Jesus was, He was a good man. There are a lot of religious people today who would say that, you know, that this particular one or that particular one, if you talk to the Muslims, they'll tell you that Jesus was a prophet. Jesus was a good man. Can't say that. If Jesus is not who He claims to be, then He is an imposter. He's a liar. Joseph Smith and the Mormons would say that Jesus is a prophet, and that's fine. He was a good man. A great teacher from God. Joseph Smith superseded. If that's true, then Jesus was a liar and an imposter. And the fact is that there have been many people who have come along and they have said that Jesus is a good person, He's a good man, Jesus is a great teacher, Jesus is a prophet, but I don't really believe all these things in the Bible about Him. You can't take some of it without taking all of it. It either all stands or it all falls together. If Jesus is truly who He claims to be, then all others that claim to be from God are false. They are not true. That means that Joseph Smith is a false prophet. The Book of Mormon is a base fraud. Muhammad is a false god. And the Koran is a false document. And we need to understand that we cannot have it both ways. Peter claimed that salvation is only in Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Acts 4, verse 10 through 12, he says, "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead by this name, this man stands here before you in good health." It was a man who was lame. Peter and John healed him. And now they were being put before the Sanhedrin for having done that. He said, "You listen. And listen good to what I'm telling you. It's by the name of Jesus, not just any Jesus. It's by the name of Jesus Christ, that is Jesus the Messiah, the Nazarene." You know who I'm talking about. It's the Jesus that you killed, but God raised Him from the dead. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the very cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no name, there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Now that's exclusive. And that eliminates all others. And a lot of people don't like that. They want you to say things in an open way and say it in a politically correct way so that it leaves it so that if you want to believe this, that's okay, and you want to believe that, it's okay, and something else is okay. But that is not the way the Bible teaches. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. There is no other name that anybody can be saved by. It is only through Jesus Christ. And so Peter claimed that salvation is only in Christ. Paul made the same claim for Christ in Ephesians 1. "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard the stewardship of God's grace which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery which I wrote before in brief." Paul says, "Don't you listen to something. God told me directly what I'm telling you. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body, fellow partakers of the promise of in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of His power." He said, salvation's in Jesus Christ. No matter whether Jew or Gentile. And I got that by revelation from God. Paul made that same claim that Peter made. John taught the same thing also about Jesus. In 1 John chapter 2, beginning of verse 21, John says, "I've not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ?" This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. "Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father, and the one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and the Father. And this is the promise which He Himself made to us, eternal life." John said, there's no other way. You accept Jesus as the Christ, as the Messiah, and you can have eternal life. If you don't, you'd be lost. In John chapter 20, when John, nearing the end of the book, this is the next to last chapter, and there in verses 30 and 31, John wrote, "Many other signs therefore Jesus also performed in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in the book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." It is only in the name of Jesus that we can have salvation. But to believe in Jesus Christ, to believe that Jesus really is the Messiah, that He really is the Savior, we must listen to Him and we must obey His Word. It's not enough just to say, oh yeah, I believe Jesus is the Christ. We must actually do what Jesus tells us. In Matthew 7, beginning of verse 21, Jesus there in the Sermon on the Mount said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Here's people that are ignoring the will of God. Well, they're religious. They did all these wonderful things. But they ignored what God really said, and they did things their own way. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man. Built his house on the rock, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and burst against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. In order to believe in Jesus, we must do the will of God. To know God, to love God, we must submit to Jesus. We must be willing to obey His will. 1 John chapter 2, there beginning in verse 3. John says, by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. The one who says, I have come to know Him, does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in Him. But whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we're in Him. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked. John says, this is how we know God. This is how we know Jesus Christ. We not only believe in Him, but we do what He tells us to do. We seek to serve Him and live for Him. And so to obey God, we must put Him first in our lives. Not just saying it, but actually putting Him first. In Exodus 20 and verse 3 that we read in the Ten Commandments, He says, you shall have no other gods before me. You don't put anything ahead of God. In Matthew 6 and verse 24, Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate one and love the other, or hold one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and things of this world both. God must be first. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, the same passage dropping on down, Jesus said, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We're to put Jesus first. We're to put God first. We're to put His way first, and living for Him first above everything else. It doesn't matter what it is, the things of this world. John said over in 1 John, he said that if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He goes on, he says, all these things are going to pass away. But you see, God and His will abide forever. In Colossians 3, beginning verse 1, Paul says there, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. He's talking about having been raised up, if you look at the whole context of being raised up with Him in baptism. And compare this to Romans 6. He says, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. If you've died and your life is hidden with Christ in God, when Christ who is our life is revealed, then you will also be revealed with Him in glory. He says, you don't live for yourself anymore, you live for God. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it's on account of these things the wrath of God will come. You don't put things ahead of God. God must be first in our lives, and doing His will must come ahead of things, whether it be material possessions or pleasures or whatever it is. God comes first. Does God care? Yeah, He cares. Because either we put God first and we serve Him above everything else, or as far as He's concerned, we're not serving Him at all. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Tonight, if you're here and you're not a Christian, then you need to put God first in your life by understanding that salvation is in Jesus Christ and no one else. If you'll come to Jesus and confess your faith in Him and turn away from sin and repentance, as we talked about this morning, and you're baptized into Christ, then you can have your sins forgiven. You can become a new person in Jesus Christ. If you're here this evening and you're subject to His invitation, we invite you to come as we stand in silence.